Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
John chapter 18, verse 2, it says, "Now Judas, who was betraying him," you know this story, he goes to the lead officials and head spiritual leaders and head people of the government, and he says, "You want this man named Jesus? Just give me 30 pieces of silver." He bought him for the price of a slave. Isn't that right, Pastor Robert? And it says, "Betraying him knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples." He knew where he was. I tell you what, that's a good leader, when people know where you are and where you stand. So it says in verse 3, "So Judas, having obtained the Roman cohort, and some officers from the high priests and the Pharisees came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, went to them and asked, 'Whom do you want?' They answered him, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' Jesus said, 'I am he.' And Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. When Jesus said, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, 'Who do you want? Whom do you want?' And they said, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' Jesus answered, 'I told you that I am he, so if you want me, let these men go on their way.' This was to fulfill and verify the words he had spoken, 'Of those whom you have given me, I have not lost even one.'" Verse 10, pay attention here. "Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear, the servant named Malchus, whose name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put the sword in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" Now I want to break this down to you because it's very important that we understand what's going on in the text. And I'm going to end this service by Mark chapter 14. We may sing the Ray Stevens song, "The Streak." Streak. Yeah, I did. All right, you ready? Some of you get that. You young folk may not. All right. Verse 3, it says, "So Judas, having obtained the Roman cohort," you need to understand what's going on. Judas is betraying the Son of God. We know that. And he shows up with some Roman soldiers, and there is a cohort. We know this from history, and we know this from studying, that a cohort was 600 soldiers. 600 soldiers. Why did they bring 600 soldiers? Because Judas had been there, and he had done that. He had seen the withered hand draw out. He had been there when Jesus had walked on water. He was there when the woman with the issue of blood for 37 years was 12 years was made whole. He was there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. He was there and he had seen it. And he said, "You know what? I know this man is powerful and he may be more powerful than anybody in the room. So you need to bring as many men as you can." 600 men show up to arrest Jesus and some officers. These were temple police. These were people that were on duty who were actually there at the Capitol. Just kidding. Moving on. "From the high priest and the Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons." When you study this out, we see this, that they did not just show up, but they showed up fully dressed and ready for combat. That means 600 men with spears, with 600 spears. There were 600 swords. There were 600 shields. There were 600 helmets. There was 600 fully equipped to take over the Son of God. Why are you being so descriptive, Pastor? Because I'm about to show you something of how important it is that we have the Word of God on the inside of us. It says in verse 4, "Then Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, went to them and asked, 'Whom do you want?' They answered him, 'Jesus the Nazarene.' Jesus said, 'I am he.'" Come on, say it with me this morning. "I am he." Come on, let's say it one more time. "I am he." "And Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. When Jesus said, 'I am he,' the Bible says they drew back and fell to the ground." Now, this I am he, you can study this in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. When God is speaking to Moses through the burning bush experience, he has fled into the wilderness with a flock. And God comes, God, the creator of the universe, comes and he meets with him at the burning bush. And it says in Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. We also see this text in John chapter 8 and verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What is Jesus saying right here when they're asking for Jesus of Nazareth? He says, I am. He didn't just say that I am the Son of God, but he is saying, I am God. Come on, how many of y'all know we serve a God? We serve a Jesus that was 100% human, but he was 100% God as well. That's what makes him the miracle worker. And so when he says this, they drew back and fell to the ground. I'm going to tell you right now, when power is released when Jesus speaks. I'm going to say it again for those of you sitting on the back row. Power is released when Jesus speaks. I'm going to say it again. Power is released when Jesus speaks. Come on, get it in your heart this morning. Why are you telling me that, Pastor? Because you have the same authority on the inside of you. It don't matter how many men come up against you. It don't matter how many banks come against you. It don't matter how many people's came after you on Facebook. I want to tell you the power of God is released when he speaks. When does he speak? He speaks through Scripture. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his Word, his name is Jesus, and he healed us and delivered us from all destruction. I'm here to tell you, you may be backed in a corner, but you speak the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There ain't no doctor, there ain't no Democrat, there ain't no Republican that can come against you when you speak the words of God. Come on, you ought to get a fire in your belly for the power of God. There was power that was released. And you need to get this in your heart this morning because you may be backed in a corner. You may be backed in a corner by some group of people. You may be backed in a corner by family members or at your job where everything is against you. You need to get in your heart this morning. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, 600 soldiers showed up with everything to come against him, but it didn't matter because greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. When he said, I am he released power. Oh, come on. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you, you need to get it. Why are you excited, preacher? Why are you mad? I'm not mad. I'm excited. I am mad at some of y'all. You'd like to complain more than declare more. I just hit somebody between the eyes. I could start pointing fingers right now, but I'm not going to. But I'm here to tell you there's an authority on the inside of you. Come on, I'm here to tell you there's an authority on the inside of you. He said, I am he. He didn't do something spectacular. He didn't crack open the egg of a hawk or the feather of an eagle or do some kind of war chant. All he said was spoke the word. Come on, he spoke the word. You know what you need to do in your situation with your health? Speak the word. With your kid that needs to come back because he's boneheaded, come on. Speak the word. Come on, Americans. Americans, I'm talking to you this morning. Let's speak the word. Some of y'all are awake. Some of y'all just think I'm crazy, but that's all right. I don't care. Speak the word. He spoke the word. Woo, and the power of God fell. Listen. This right here, when you study this in the Greek, all 600, including Peter, including Judas, they all fell to the ground. They didn't even know what hit them. Oh, I love it. I mean, they weren't drunk as you suppose. But they had been hit by the power of the word, the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Again, he asked them, whom do you want? And they said, Jesus, the Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you want me, let these men go on their way. So I hope you see the picture here. Here they are in this Garden of Gethsemane. There's graves all around this particular garden. In fact, when you go there today, I've had many friends that have gone. I'm going there in Jesus' name one day. And they have all these graves. They have shallow graves. They have deep graves. And here they are in this place, and 600 men show up. They're asking for the Son of God. Even one of them among them is Malchus. He is one of the leading officials for Caiaphas. He is the head spokesperson. He is the mouthpiece for this leading official. And he's there as well, and all of them begin to fall to the ground. In fact, in the Greek, you can study this, that the ground shook when they hit the ground. That's the power of the word. I'm trying to paint a picture to you this morning. That's the power of the word. How many of y'all know the word is still alive today? Come on, how many of you know the word of God is still alive today? He's not dead, he's surely alive. And so, painting that picture right there, all these men fall to the ground. And then it says in verse 10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword. Why does he have a sword? He's a fisherman. Who gave him a sword? Drew it, struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, I'm sure he had something against Malchus. I'm sure this isn't the first time that he's popped off. I'm sure that they've had Facebook wars before. And that he was thinking of Malchus from his inbox of things that he has said to him. And so he's not looking for just any ordinary soldier. He's looking for somebody to go after. And so we see here, he slices off, and we're going to study in Luke in just a moment in Luke and see what it says about Luke. But it means he struck to take off his head. I mean, he wasn't just going out there to, like, cut a piece of steak. That means he came from back here on the right leg, followed through the left hip, and whew, like a Viking, like Ragnar Lothbrok. And he struck, going to cut off the head, but he got the ear. You know, right away when I read this, I thought to myself, wasn't Peter just under the power of God like everybody else? You know, this painted a picture of me. In fact, we see in verse 10, he's known as Simon Peter, but in verse 11, he's known as Peter. What was Simon? That was his name when he was a fisherman and of this world. In fact, we see in Luke chapter 22, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will grow stronger. When he verified him as a part of his flesh, he talked to Peter in a way of Simon, his old name. Here's a man who is under the same power as all the 600, the same power as Judas, the same power as Malchus, the man who got his ear cut off. But it painted a picture to me and told me that you can sit under the power of God, but until you crucify your flesh, you will still act like the flesh. Come on, I'll say that again. You may get under the power of God every week. It doesn't matter how many times you get in the presence of God. You have to continually crucify your flesh. You got to continually crucify your flesh. In Galatians 5, verse 22, he talks about putting on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. But before that, he says you're going to have to crucify your flesh daily. Jesus said this in Luke 9:23. He said, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Here's a man who was just under the same power, had got up from the ground, but was still operating under his flesh. Can I tell you this morning? Even it doesn't matter how many times you come on Sunday morning. It don't matter how many times you join me in prayer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It don't matter how many times you come on Wednesday night or Bible school or special events. You've still got to crucify your flesh. You've still got to crucify your flesh. I see people that sit under the same anointing that I'm under, and they're still a bonehead today. Come on, I'm speaking real to you guys this morning. I see people that are still, I sense the presence of God in this place this morning. Come on, give him praise this morning if you sense his presence. Woo! He is here. But I see people that have an amazing weekend. They go to camp meeting. They throw cigarettes up there, pour out their liquor bottles, and when they leave the tent, they got to run to the gas station to fulfill their flesh. Come on, don't look at me. I've done the same thing before. Leave the church house, somebody pull out in front of me, and oh boy, come on, somebody. I'm praying in tongues. Let's go. Don't look at me all judgmental. I know you've done it too. Even Pastor Shannon's done that. I've seen him. Just kidding. He's perfect. Come on, I'm going to tell you, you know what you need to do when you leave this? Because I believe God's going to do a work in this. I believe resurrection power is already here. We ain't got to wait for Sunday. But you know what you got to do in your marriage? When you leave these doors, you got to crucify your flesh. You know what you do when you start that car? You've got to crucify the flesh. You know what you got to do on Monday morning? When that horse is being a bonehead, Gabe, you've got to crucify the flesh and take authority over a beast. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you this morning, it don't matter how many times you get under the presence of God, you're still going to have to crucify the flesh. There's been moments in my life where I've had great revelation, and right around the corner has been the biggest storm in my life. But how many of y'all know the greater the storm, the greater the calm? Well, I'm going to say it again. The greater the storm, the greater the calm. Amen. It says, then Simon Peter. See, he went back to his old fleshly name there, Simon Peter. He tried to take advantage of the situation, cut off his ear. So Jesus said to Peter, but when Jesus talked to him, the world may have saw him still as Simon, but Jesus still saw him as Peter. Ooh, I love that. Come on, if you don't like, how many of y'all thankful that he changed your name? He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed Saul to Paul. He changed Simon to Peter. I'm thankful that he changed my name from lying, cheating, old, dead, beaten, two-timing, no good, counterfeit. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all thankful? You ought to give praise this morning that he made you a new name. You're no longer the person that you used to be. And he still sees him as Peter, even though he stepped ahead of the Lord. So he said to Peter, put the sword back in its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup which my Father has given me? How many times have you tried to step in and do something in your own power? Oh, man. So many times. I tell you what, I'd cut an ear off for Jesus. I'm not even going to lie to you. I love the Lord. But how many times do we get into our flesh and try to take a step ahead? How many times do we do things that we don't even realize what we're doing? Come on, I'm just here to tell you that there's a grace for you this morning. Those of you that's tried to step in and do what you can do in your power for your marriage, I'm here to tell you that there's a grace for you today. Those of you that's tried to step in and try to fix your financial deal, I'm telling you, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And here's Peter, he steps onto the scene, and he tries to, I want to look at Luke chapter 22 and what he sees from it. Luke 22 and verse 49. It says, when those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with the sword? This word strike is with intention to kill. And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Cut off means to castrate right there in the Greek. His ear meaning the whole ear. There was nothing left. But I love what Luke says. He's the only gospel that talks about the healing that took place. Because it doesn't matter how many times we mess up and try to fix what we've done wrong. Jesus will always step in. And there will be grace is sufficient for us. Amen. But Jesus replied, stop, no more of this. And he touched the ear. When we read this word touch, it means he aggressively grabbed the ear. People knew the power of God was going forth. He aggressively touched it, healed. It means he was totally restored. You know what I love about this? down to the very last minute before he goes to the cross, Jesus was a miracle-working God. Come on, I'm here to tell you, down to the very last minute in your marriage, Jesus is still a miracle-working God. Down to the very last minute in your body, Jesus is still a miracle-working God. Down to the very last minute in the United States of America, come on, somebody, he is still a miracle-working God. He does a work there. Now I want you to go to the book of Mark, what we see, what happens here in Mark chapter 14. We see all of this that had happened. We see the cohort. We see 600 men fall under the power of God. They get up. Peter is led by his flesh, cuts off Malchus's ear. So take that. Jesus fixed the problem, heals the man. He has a brand new ear. After everything that he said, good thing I'm not Jesus. I would have prayed for like a 95-year-old man's ear with a young man's body ear or a Dumbo ear. You know, this is what you get, but at least you can hear now. But I'm not Jesus. So we move on to this. They're about to arrest him, take him away, take him before the high priest. But we see something interesting from the text in Mark chapter 14 and verse 51. We see this. Amplified version says this. A young man was following him wearing only a linen sheet over his naked body, and some men seized him. But pulling free of the linen sheet, he escaped from them butt naked. Now that's the Travis Blee Bennett version right there. But it says he was naked. Now, how many of y'all have ever read this text before? How many of you ever noticed this text before? I've noticed it before, but I believe the Lord. And I've read commentaries that, which is great. You read commentaries just to see what they see from their perspective. And one of the commentaries, that it was the writer Mark who writes this particular passage of Scripture, that he was at his father-in-law's house and that he was asleep, naked, for whatever reason. And he had a linen sheet. But the problem with this linen sheet is this. When you study this linen sheet from the King James Version in the Greek, you see that this linen sheet is not just a sheet that somebody sleeps with. This is a sheet that was made in Egypt for a particularly high-class group of Jewish people that was for somebody who died. When Jews, when they died, they would have this burial shroud, this linen sheet, where we get this Greek word. You study out this word. There was other linen sheets, yes, but this Greek word goes to somebody who has died. They have buried them naked inside of this Egyptian cloth. So it can't be Mark trying to, distract all of them, and he just looked like the streak. Yeah, I did. I can't get away from it. I'm telling you what, if you didn't grow up in a single-wide trailer with cigarette smoke and a VHS tape of Ray Stevens, you ain't no cowboy. Come on. I tell you what. It's me again, Margaret. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you about Ahab, the Arab, Sheik of the burning sand. How about guitars, Ann? I'm telling you, I'll sing them all right now. Pastor Brandy ain't here. I can do whatever I want to. Yeah, I did. I was over there in the Maters. Here he come, just a naked as a jaybird. I like the one where he's at the basketball court. He was a dribbling. Oh, Lord. Oh, what was I preaching about? My goodness. So you got to understand here. Here's 600 men, and here comes this naked boy. He's like, it's the Super Bowl. I'm running out there naked. It ain't that. He ain't looking for likes on Instagram. Are you guys ready to tell you what happened? Oh, man, I pray this morning we're about to feel revival in this place. So what happened was, we see, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth about his naked body. We see that this linen cloth, this is not just a cloth that somebody sleeps in. This is something for somebody who has died, and they buried him naked with this linen cloth. That's what it is. So what had happened was, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Woo! Come on. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here comes these 600 cohorts. They're asking, who is Jesus of Nazareth? He says, I am he. Woo! I am. The power of God went forth. Come on, when you're in the power of God, there may be some things around you that have been dead for a long time that are going to come back to life. So what happened was, is here's 600 men and they fall to the ground. I believe one of two different things happened. I believe when the word of God was spoken and one of them soldiers accidentally fell on top or on a shallow grave of a young boy, the power of God that was in him got into that dead boy. I also believe this, that it didn't matter who touched him, but he was in the vicinity of the power of God. Come on, I'm here to tell you this morning. Come on, I hope you get this in your spirit. It ain't Mark running around naked. It's a young boy that had died. They had buried him, but he was in the power of God. When you get in the power of God, there'll be some things that'll resurrect around you that you weren't even looking to resurrect, because that's how powerful he is. Come on, when you get in the presence of God, there may be, you may just come to the front to get you right, but when you get you right, there's things that are shallow out there around you, like your marriage, like your kids, like your finances, that he not only does a resurrection power on the inside of you, he does it inside of your spouse. He does it inside of your kids. He does it inside of your banking account. He does it inside of your body. You may have just got your life right with the Lord, but he's saying, I'm not only going to get your life right, but I'm going to get the people around you's lives right. Come on, there is resurrection power. Oh, this is so good. Mark running around naked like he's trying to distract somebody. I'll tell you what it was. It was the power of God. How important is it that we get under the power of God? How important is it that we speak the word? When you get under the power of God, you may never know who or what else it will be resurrecting. I'm telling you, it's so important to be in his presence. It's so important to be in the word. It's so important to be in word. Daily crucify your flesh. I'm telling you, I believe that when I get under the power of God, if I plant a garden, my plants grow better than any other heathen out there. Hey, Pastor, that's crazy. I'm just telling you, I believe resurrection power can happen in every area of my life. He gives me the desires of my heart. The little things, the little areas. How many of y'all can testify when you got saved, there was other things in your house that got saved as well? Come on. I can testify to that. My attitude got saved. Things around me, I began to see things in a different light. I'm telling you, before he even went to the cross, up until the very last moment, he said, seize him. Why were they saying to seize him? They wanted that naked boy, one, because he was naked, I'm sure. But for two, they saw the power that this Son of God had. The miracle that had just taken place on Malchus's ear, restored, completely made new. They said, we can't take another miracle. We're making a huge mistake doing what we're doing. Get that boy. There's a naked boy running somewhere saying that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, I want to be that naked boy. Well, not really. Yeah, I did. Come on, how many of y'all got something out of the word this morning? Band, if you would come up at this time. I want to leave you with this. Speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth. Come on, I'm going to say it again. When you speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth. You've got enough Communist News Network or Constant Negative News or Fox, ABC, NBC. You've got enough negativity in your life. You know where positivity needs to come from? It needs to come from you. You need to speak the word to your children. You need to speak the word to your financial situation. You need to speak the word to America today. Come on, we need to speak the word for our nation today. Come on, we need to speak the word for our nation today. Stand to your feet this morning. I want to tell you, you need to get the word of God on the inside of you, because when power is released, all that was spoke was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He spoke the word. You know what he left us? He left us the word. Mark 11, 22. He says, have faith in God. Whatsoever you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, shall be done. Come on, I'm here to tell you, get the word in this situation. But Pastor, I don't know what word to put in this situation. I believe God will show you. But also, too, we live in a time where we have Google. There's no excuses, y'all. I promise you, there is no excuses. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody this morning. There is no excuses. You need to be in the Word of God. Pastor, I need things to resurrect not only in me, but also around me. I'm telling you, I hope you heard this morning this in your word and in your heart and in your spirit, that when you speak to things, God has put an authority on the inside of you, the same authority that he spoke inside that Garden of Gethsemane. There can be things around you that will come to life. Maybe there's some things in your life that have been dead for a long time. Come on, let me see a show of hands. You have some things around you that's been dead for a long time. Got hands all over this room. You know what I can tell you this morning? Speak the word. Oh, he who says, the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Speak to it. Declare to it. Have authority over it. Oh, the Roman centurion's servant, he said, you just say the word, and my servant will be made healed, will be made whole. He knew something. He said, I've never seen greater faith like this in all of Israel, because he saw something in the man that he saw how it works. Jesus, you just speak the word. What did he tell the men after they crossed the Sea of Galilee to the other side? He said, men, where is your faith? He's saying, the same way that I spoke to this storm, you had the same authority to do so as well. There's an authority on the inside of you. Get that negativity out. Let it go. Come on, speak that out. Negativity gone. Come on, say it with me. Negativity gone. Pastor, you don't understand. My situation's getting worse. You need to understand this morning, up until the last minute, the power of God was still going forth. Come on, up until the last minute, the power of God was still going forth. How many of y'all are in a last minute situation right now? Come on, let me just give a show of hands. You're in a last minute situation. Oh, Jesus. God, I pray for these that have their hands raised. I pray for the power of God to be released in their life. The ones that have had the bad report. The one that have give up right at the edge of their tongue. The one that wants to throw in the towel, that says, there's no way I'm coming out of this one. I pray the power of God to be released inside of their mind, inside of their spirit, inside of their body right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the same power that was there at that Garden of Gethsemane would be here today, that it would resurrect not only this situation, but they would see the ripple effect of every other area in their life in Jesus' name. Resurrection power, the power to stand when all odds are against them. Lord, I pray for these that are inside of this room. I pray, God, that you would begin to give them a new outlook, a new vision, new sight. Lord, that they would begin to declare things in Jesus' mighty name. with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room and you say this, Pastor, I've been in here, I've been under the teaching of the Word, but I can honestly say this, I'm away from God. I can honestly say that my life is not right with Him. I can say that you might tell me this, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know who I've harmed. You don't know who I've hurt. I'm here to tell you there's a resurrection power that is inside of this room. The Bible tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than he that laid down one's life for his friends. He also said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He humbly gave his life for you and me. And if you're in this room, you feel like you're drowning, you're at a place in your life where you've hurt people, you've harmed yourself, and you've hurt people around you, I'm here to tell you that there's resurrection power for you. And when it hits you, it will affect every area of your life. The Bible tells us this, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again, he'd come live on the inside of you. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. You are a new creation in Christ. So if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm away from God. Pastor, that's me. I need a relationship with Him. Pastor, that's me. I'm sinking. I'm drowning. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I need somebody in my life. The Bible says He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. And if you're in here and you're away from God, you want to come back to Him, or maybe you've never had a relationship with Him before, don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without accepting Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Today is your day. Today is your day. So with every head bowed and with every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You were buried. And on the third day, you showed resurrection power. You rose from the dead. You're at the right hand of the Father. I confess you as my Lord. I confess my sins to you. Forgive me. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.